¡Vamos, amigos! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Soccer Podcast, episode 37. We're going to call this the Zlatan episode, and boy, oh boy, I am podcasting on an empty stomach. Story on why that is coming up here shortly. But as always, I am your host, Duke. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Talking Soccer Podcast. Interesting weekend coming up. We might be saying, what are we going to talk about? There's no EPL. The guys are on international break. Oh boy, oh boy. The Zlatan episode is coming up. But as always, I'm your host, Duke. I work over at elitefantasy.com, where I'm the director of soccer. For all my DFS information, you can check out elitefantasy.com. For all my betting info, head over to elitesportsbetting.com. Guys are crushing it over there. We got NHL, PGA, NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball started up. Of course, we have soccer and MMA as well. I think we even have some esports. If you want to bet on it, it's over there. I don't know that we have field hockey yet, but perhaps we're looking for someone. So if you're in the field hockey market and have a winning betting record, hit us up. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. But like I said, I'm podcasting on an empty stomach here. And here's why. It's Wednesday evening. This usually goes up Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Wife gets home from work. For those who don't know, my lovely wife is pregnant, 6 months or so into this pregnancy. We also have a big trip coming up this weekend, heading to Chicago for a college buddy's wedding. Really looking forward to that. So we got a lot going on. We got packing. We got the dog. We got to figure out daycare for him. You know, boarding. Got to make sure the business is right. Got to make sure my articles are ready to go so I'm not leaving you guys behind. We got a lot going on. And I figured, you know what? Also, our fridge has just been out for 2 weeks. Just don't have a fridge. We've been using coolers. I've bought ice 5 different times. Finally get that fixed yesterday. So we finally went out, did the big grocery shop, and we're going to cook in. First time in a week and a half. And for those of you who live in the city, perhaps this is a normal occurrence for you, but we don't eat out every night. We like to cook, hang out, grab a glass of wine, just me, not her, just because of the baby. I figured, let me do something good for the wifey. She's been putting up with a lot, been working like a dog. Why don't I cook dinner? We're going to have this beautiful shrimp pesto pasta. Get the water boiling, put the noodles in, you know, salt the water. Got to salt the water, guys. Put the noodles in, let those babies cook, fettuccine. Had to do fettuccine. Get the shrimp going with a nice little paprika, Italian seasoning, red pepper, chili flakes, salt, pepper blend, or, you know, marinate on that. Rub, I guess. Get those cooking off. Make sure they're not touching. You don't want them steaming. Get that going. Pull the shrimp off. Mushrooms are on. Garlic's on. Let that cook off for a few minutes. Put some, and this is the key part, put some chicken stock in. And put some basil pesto in. At that point, you return the shrimp. You're pulling the noodles out, draining those, put the noodles in. You're mixing it all together. Boom. Top it off with a little Parmesan cheese. Mwah. Dish looked beautiful. Could have used some color, maybe some tomatoes in there. So we sit down to eat. I'm saying, oh, it's pretty good, right? Tastes good, honey. Oh, yeah, it tastes great. It's really good. Thanks for cooking. Yeah, no problem. Hey, you know, one thing, it was weird. When I opened the chicken stock, there wasn't like foil or anything. Like I didn't have to take off any foil. I just opened the cap and then just poured it in. I got absolutely reamed out. First of all, she just dropped her fork on the plate. Clang, just big noise. Are you an idiot? Whoa, excuse me, what? She's like, why would you use that? It has to be refrigerated after it's opened. I said, well, that makes sense. I knew that. I just thought, you know, maybe we haven't had groceries. Maybe you got home and made something in the last 10 minutes. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but that's kind of what I thought. And she's like, well, we can't eat this. Obviously, maybe someone tampered with it at the store. You have to pull back the tinfoil. So I spit the food that's in my mouth out. All of a sudden, we're going worst case scenario. Oh my God, we've been drugged. Kroger's going to get sued. I wonder how many other people this happened to. Gross. Is the baby going to be okay? We throw away the food. We're sitting there. She's pissed. I'm pissed. And also, we don't have any food. We haven't eaten anything yet. We had like 3 bites before this conversation started. So we're both hangry. I'm like, God dang it, Amy. Open another one. Just make sure that you didn't, you know, maybe that was just a weird one. We have more. She goes and grabs another thing of the exact same chicken stock, cracks it open. Guess what's not there? Guess what's not there? Foil. So now we have two things of open chicken stock that are both perfectly fine, exactly as it came from the factory, and zero dinners because we just threw it away. So I'm podcasting on an empty stomach, but I got to get it out for you guys. And this is the Zlatan episode. I'm looking forward to doing it. And why are we doing this? Well, he announced today that he's leaving the MLS. Hasn't said where he's going. I'm guessing it's going to be back to Serie A. But we're doing the Zlatan episode. Before we do that, let's do a quick rundown of last weekend's EPL games because we did have a crazy weekend that started on Friday with Watford picking up a massive 2-0 victory over Norwich, a true six-pointer. Both teams in the relegation zone still currently, but were heading into this game. Watford obviously getting the win 2-0 on the road. Horrible, horrible result for Norwich. Unfortunately, we were on Norwich. I had seen some things prior in the last game that I thought perhaps they could create more, especially with that home crowd behind them. They're bad, guys. They're bad. Norwich are done. Watford are not great either, but got two goals, managed 3 points there. Watford up to 18th in the table on 8 points, minus 15 goal differential. Big wins on Saturday by Chelsea, Burnley, Newcastle, Everton, and Leicester. Leicester, huge result over Arsenal, a 2-0 win. And Leicester, kids, are for real. You start talking about their top players, James Maddison, Yuri Tielemans, even Jamie Vardy. Obviously, Harry Maguire made the big move to Man United this season. And then Brendan Rodgers, the manager, being talked about in all these different jobs. Why would they leave? Maybe better wage package, right? Why would they leave? Leicester are the real deal. They're sitting on 26 points, second in the table, second best goal differential at plus 21. They are for real. But big win, like I said, by Burnley, 3 over West Ham. At home, Newcastle 2-1 over Bournemouth. Everton picking up a 2-1 win on Southampton. Southampton struggling in the relegation zone themselves. Spurs tied Sheffield 1-1. Took a massive L on that one as well. Sunday was much better to us. Manchester United with a 3-1 win over Brighton. United looking strong in the attack. Martial back. Rashford's healthy in form, scoring goals. Did blow a couple easy, easy chances. Could have had 3-4 goals. Ended up with one. Wolves, big win over Aston Villa, 2-1. And then the game of the week, Liverpool, 3-1 over Man City. And really, argue about it all you want. I thought it was a handball on Trent Alexander-Arnold. And the irony here is, I almost tweeted it out earlier on Saturday because there was a couple situations where it was a VAR situation. The referee had let it play on, knowing we could go back and review it later. And I thought to myself, because I hadn't seen it before, what happens in the run of play if the other team scores? What happens? So, I mean, it happened on Sunday. City gets down the right side, puts a ball in the box, ricochets from a defender off Bernardo Silva, I believe, then misses, I think it was Aguero, and hits Trent Alexander-Arnold in the right arm. Arm not in a natural position, but sort of in a natural position if he's defending, kind of holding a player off, kind of, you know, touching him to feel how far away he is, what his movement is. That's a natural position. But it was a bang-bang play, clearly impeded the ball. Liverpool then get it, counterattack. Fabinho with an absolute howitzer of a shot beats Claudio Bravo, and there's a goal. Huge, huge turn of events in that game. We go from penalty for City to Liverpool goal. Pep Guardiola, of course, losing his mind. I love when little baby Pep gets upset on the sidelines. Brilliant manager, unbelievable tactician, kind of a checkbook manager, quite honestly. Brings in, you know, his own type of players, spends a lot of money, but it's got it done. City are a brilliant team. Huge turn of events there. Big result for Liverpool. Huge result for our Liverpool Championship preseason ticket that we're holding. Mo Salah grabbed a goal. We got to get him up to the top of the Golden Boot because our Mo Salah Liverpool Golden Boot Championship ticket is looking pretty, boys and girls. But Liverpool opened up that lead now to 8 points over Leicester and Chelsea. City down to fourth on 25 points. So bravo to Leicester. Bravo to Chelsea. Unlucky to City. Way to go, Liverpool. Huge results at the bottom of the table again. Watford with that big win over Norwich. Aston Villa, for as good as they've been, sitting just 3 points outside the relegation zone. So that's going to do it for our EPL recap. Let's talk about Zlatan. The man, the myth, the legend, the lion, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Look, I've been a fan of Zlatan forever. Better part of 15, 20 years. And for those who don't know, I'll give you a little bit of a history of kind of his career. Guy's nearing 40 years old, still in demand across world soccer. He started out in Malmo, a small town in Sweden, his native country, transferred then to Ajax. And this is kind of a theme. Zlatan, I should have done the math on this, but has to have something close to $300 million, if not more, worth of transfer fees. But transferred to Ajax, huge fanfare for his transfer. Played 24 times, scored 6 goals his first year. He then went back-to-back seasons with 13 goals. And then, in his fourth season, he started the first 3 games of the Eredivisie, scored 3 goals there before making his first of many, I guess you can count Ajax as his first big move, but his first of many big moves to a big club and joined Juve in 2004. And you can say probably somewhere in his second to third year at Ajax is really when I started hearing about Zlatan, watching his games. You know, back then we didn't have game. Sound like an old man. Back then, back in my day, we didn't have every single game on TV. We couldn't stream games legally or illegally. So really we were kind of left to highlights that we would get occasionally on, you know, Fox Sports Soccer or the occasional Champions League game where I'd see Zlatan with Ajax. But that's kind of where I started following. Then he moves to Juve, that big move in 2004. That season, he scored 16 goals in 35 games. The following season for Juve, down to 7 goals in 35 games. And it's kind of a theme with Zlatan. He's a little bit like Jose Mourinho in that he's a shooting star. He comes in, he's bright, he's brilliant, and then he's gone. Just 2 years at Juve. The following season, bags 7 goals in 35 games, makes another big move to Inter in the Serie A. He scored 15, 17, and then he really starts to turn it on. He scored 25 goals in 35 games before another big money move to Barcelona. And Barcelona at that time were it, right? They were it. Winning everything. Samuel Eto'o, balling out, scoring goals. But they were missing a little bit of height in the team, right? You had Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, Pedro. A lot of small guys, quick, fast, technical. They needed that extra element. And that was Zlatan. He was going to be the missing piece. Not just a tall guy, not just a fast guy. He was not just a technical guy. He was all three. And he scored goals. Looked like the perfect fit. But his personality clashed. And he lasted only 1 season. He scored 16 goals in 29 games. And then he was loaned back to Serie A with AC Milan. There, scored 42 goals over 2 seasons on loan. And really cemented his status as, what, top 5 player in the world? Top 5 forward in the world for sure. And then he went to the pub league. The French league came calling. Big money move from PSG. They wanted the lion. He spent 4 seasons in the pub league, that is League One, and scored 30 goals in 34 games, 26 goals in 33 games, 19 goals in 24 games, and finally 38 freaking goals in 31 games. Like a fine wine, he seemed to be getting better with age. And then he makes an insane move. He moves to Manchester United on a free transfer. It wasn't necessarily an afterthought in that transfer market. It's Zlatan, for God's sakes, but it was a bit of a head scratcher. How can this old man, in quotes, right, old man, handle the rigors of the physical Premier League? Did pretty dang good. 17 goals in 28 games. Man United's leading scorer. And importantly, brought a leadership, a work rate to the locker room that was desperately needed. Insane, insane production for a guy of his age. Unfortunately, the following year, he suffered the first major injury of his career which is probably something we should talk about. You think of all these seemingly unbelievable careers that are derailed by injury. We go to other sports. You look at, you know, Sam Bowie, Greg Oden, Derrick Rose to an extent. Unbelievable players who unfortunately due to injury just couldn't get it going. You think of even back to the EPL. We'll keep it at Manchester United, Luke Shaw. All the promise in the world. Unbelievable player at Southampton as a teenager, getting caps with the England full national team. Makes a big money move to Man United. For some reason, cannot manage to stay healthy. You think even further back to a Jack Rodwell, who through injury and then also a big money move to Man City, went from the next promising destroyer in midfield, box-to-box kind of guy, to an afterthought. Someone who ends up at Sutherland, getting relegated several times, and never heard from again. It's so easy. It's so easier, in fact, to get hurt and fade than it is to stay relevant and at the top of his game, as Zlatan has done for the better part of 25 years. Unbelievable. He works his ass off. He's always professional. He's always in shape. And especially if you've only come to see him the last couple years, you may notice his defensive work rate has lessened. He's not being asked to defend at LA Galaxy. He was asked to score goals, and that's what he did. And score goals he did, man. You think back on his career, he's got some of the best goals of all time. You think about these goals. He had a 40-yard free kick smash for Inter. Unbelievable shot. One, I didn't even think he was going to hit. He ran it up to like he was going to hit it. Sure enough, bang, goal. He had his flying side volley for Sweden from the penalty spot in an international game. He had that 35-yard hammer for PSG just a couple years ago. And then you have the top two goals. And these are probably the two, if you know Zlatan, that you're thinking of. It's the first two goals I was thinking of when I was thinking back to Zlatan's all-time goals. We got to start with the goal at Ajax. I went back and counted it today. I watched the video several times. He made 9 players miss. And that's not 9 individual players on the field. He made some of them miss multiple times. It was insane. It included the goalkeeper, dragbacks, cuts, feints, etc. Just calmness personified. Cockiness level, 14 out of 10. Skill, 20 out of 10. To have the composure, the vision, the brain power to make those moves, beat the defender, juke, jive, stop, go, and then have the calmness to fake a shot with his right foot, drag back to his left as the keeper and defender go sliding by, and then just slot it home. Absolutely unbelievable class goal from Zlatan there. So that was maybe his second best goal, or arguably his top. He was a young player at the time, brilliant goal. But then, of course, the goal we all remember, playing against England, goalkeeper comes out, I think it was Pickford, comes out to clear a through ball. Zlatan reads that he's going to head it, backs off the play just a bit to try to receive the clearance. And as the ball is going over Zlatan's head, and you're thinking, oh, crap. All right, well, at least he's going to settle it. Let's get some runners in the box. Nope. Zlatan's being Zlatan. He does things that players don't even consider, let alone try, let alone execute. A full bicycle kick from 40 yards away, going away from the goal, and it beat not only the keeper, but a trailing defender who was tracking back as well. Probably the best goal I've ever seen. Once again, who thinks to try that, let alone execute and score? Had he, as the ball's going over his head and he's turning his body, jumped, bicycle kick, and it goes out for a goal kick, the crowd goes crazy. Unbelievable effort. Who the heck thinks to try it? The fact that he scored is just Zlatan. That's what it is. He's an enigma. He's mercurial. It makes no sense. The man is a legend, which leads us to MLS. Was his time in MLS a success? That's kind of really the question I'm asking myself as Zlatan moves on. I mean, we certainly saw his career was 31 trophies, nominated for the Ballon d'Or, what? I think 4 times? No. 11 times? 11 times he was nominated for the Ballon d'Or, the best player in the world. He finished 4th in 2013. And then you go back and you look at some of his individual awards. I mean, he was a Swedish Footballer of the Year basically every year from 2005 to 2019. Swedish male athlete several times, but go back to the global award. He won the Puskas Award for the best goal 2013. I believe that was for the bicycle kick. He was in the FIFA World 11 2013. He made the second team in 2014, 15, 16. Made the third team in 2017. So he was in the top three forwards from 2013 to 2017 consistently. He was in the UEFA Team of the Year 2007, 2009, 13, and 14. Champions League Team of the Season 2013, 14. I mean, the list goes on and on. UEFA Champions League Top Assist Provider 2012, 2013. Unbelievable. Serie A Player of the Year. Several times. Serie A Goal of the Year. Yep. Goal of the Month in Germany. Yep. Goal of the Year in Germany. Yep. League One Best Player 2013, 14, and 15. League One Team of the Year. Every single year he was there. Top scorer. 2013, 2014, 2015 in League One. The dude is a beast. So we know his career was successful. What about his time in the MLS? Well, he arrived, obviously, to a lot of fanfare. Not only was it Zlatan, but he was going to the premier team in the MLS. In the eyes of the world, the LA Galaxy, David Beckham's team. Not only that, but we, being MLS, America, don't often get players coming right from Manchester United to come play in the MLS. LA, obviously a team that's had a storied history, lining the shelves with trophies, but in a bit of a tough time when he arrives. Surely they would win something with Zlatan, right? But in fact, not a damn thing. In fact, his first year, they missed the playoffs in a league where it's almost impossible to miss the playoffs. Six teams from your conference make the playoffs. And on the last day, the Galaxy had to win to secure their spot and couldn't get it done. Finished seventh. I distinctly remember the images of Zlatan sitting there, shirt off, just kind of looking at his feet going, what the hell did I do? How did I get here? How am I playing with guys making $50,000 a year? Not a week, a year. This year, 2019, a touch better. They did make the playoffs, but were ousted in the conference semifinals. And unfortunately, they lost to the crosstown rivals, LAFC 5-3. Hell of a game. Fun game to watch. Zlatan, of course, scoring in that game. And they did beat Minnesota 2-1 in round one of the playoffs, kind of like our play-in game. But they never sniffed the finals in 2 years. And now he's leaving, likely for some European team that's still competing for trophies. He's damn near 40 and still drawing interest. So I ask again, was he a success? Well, let's look at his individual statistics. We talked about his team and the failures there, but in 2018, he scored 22 goals in 27 games. This year, 2019, he scored 30 goals in 29 games, over a goal a game. And over those 2 years, he added 17 assists. So to give you an idea how productive Zlatan was, I mentioned earlier, you may have watched him, he wasn't doing a ton defensively. That's because he's scoring 30 goals, man. The Galaxy scored 58 in total this year. Zlatan accounted for 52% of their goals. So no, I don't want him chasing down balls. I want him exactly where he was, in front of goal, between the pipes. He was their team in the attacking end. Pavone and Zlatan, that was it. But that's another question. With that much salary going to a few players, can the team have success? The short answer is yes. We've seen it. We've seen it several times. MLS rules are holding back the best owners and the best front offices, but it's not impossible to win with big money players. It's the LA Galaxy front office that let Zlatan down, not Zlatan. So was he a success? For me, unequivocally, yes. Yes. It's unfortunate he didn't win anything, but how can you argue that his time here wasn't a success? Just look at it from all the different perspectives, from the league's perspective, from the news, from the attention from Europe. We had Man United fans, Ajax fans, Juve fans, AC Milan fans, Inter fans, Zlatan fans. The dude's got 39.2 million Instagram followers that now have heard of the MLS. have watched MLS games. We've seen TV contracts get done during his time at LA. He scored banger after banger. He was a walking highlight on the field and the quote machine off it. I think he did quite a bit of good, bringing up some issues that the MLS still has, like the lack of quality travel, the fact you can't charter flights. Even the nutrition for the MLS players is poor. He bitched about turf fields, which is something I think the MLS should get rid of, including my team, Atlanta United, in that gorgeous Mercedes-Benz Stadium that unfortunately has a turf pitch. Look, he did talk down about the league a little bit. I don't love that. It's part of his bravado. That's Zlatan. He's going to say he's the best. He'll do it if he plays for Barcelona next year. He's the best player in La Liga. He's not, but that's what he'll say. And that's part of his brilliance, that confidence in himself. He sets the bar and then has to work his tail off for his body to match his mouth. But just watch an LA Galaxy game. Him talking down about the league, just watch him. That front office put together an awful roster around Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and he's still produced. His stay, for my opinion, just long enough. 2 years, just long enough. He was starting to wear on me personally. I mean, some of the things he was saying about the league, not great. Not great. It went from helpful to just derogatory and unnecessary. But you can't argue with what he did on the field. He was must watch. Must watch. When Zlatan was playing, I was watching. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year with that money. Because if it's just Pavone, Andrasini, a couple others, I'm not turning on an LA Galaxy game. If I got other things to do, it's a Saturday night, Friday night. I've been working all week, writing articles for you guys, putting out podcasts. I'm not going to sit down and watch an LA Galaxy game. But if they bring in a big money player, someone who can grab my attention like a Zlatan, like a Carlos Vela, like a Joseph Martinez, of course I'll watch. It'll be sad that he's gone because I miss those quotes. I miss the attention, the fun that he brought. And he's barking at those players every single game. It was hilarious to watch. He'd make a run. No one could get him the ball. No one's good enough. He's better around better players. And yet he was still absolutely brilliant. So where's he off to next? I don't know, but I'll be tuning in. And I'll leave you with a few of Zlatan's best quotes during his career. And if you haven't yet, go Google, YouTube, search engine, Zlatan best goals. Watch those first. You'll see that Ajax goal where he beats 9 players. You'll see the goal for Sweden, the bicycle kick, poor England. And then go Google Zlatan's best quotes. But here's a few that I'll give you. And this is appropriate. We just talked about his career in MLS. I think it's a success. You let me know what you think. Is it a success or no? Some people say you got to have a trophy in order for it to be a success. 2 years, didn't win a trophy. Not a success. I disagree. But that's okay. We're allowed to disagree. Tell me why. Hit me up on Twitter at DukeDFS. But a couple quotes, and this is an appropriate one to start out with. I don't need a trophy to tell me I am the best. And that's Zlatan personified. This could be in reference to any point in his career. It was probably in reference, and I don't know this for sure, to when he didn't win the Ballon d'Or, when he finished fourth. Probably got asked, Zlatan, you said you're the greatest. You didn't win. What happened? I don't need a trophy to tell me I'm the best. How about this one? I think I am difficult to satisfy because when I win something, I'm already thinking about the next step. And that is maybe a problem for me. I'm not enjoying the moment. I'm already on that mission to win the next trophy. Constant motivation. Search for excellence. Search for that next mission. I think we can all take a little bit away from Zlatan there. How about this one? First, I went left. He did too. Then I went right, and he did too. And then I went left again, and he went to buy a hot dog. Zlatan's such a clown, man. This is in reference to absolutely doing up a poor player from Liverpool. Cut left, cut right, and then cut left again, and the dude basically fell over. It was unbelievable. How about this one? I can't help but laugh at how perfect I am. Zlatan being Zlatan, man. When people criticize me, instead of putting my head down, it gives me energy to do even more. And he's definitely had his doubters throughout his career, people who didn't like him. It just motivates him, man. The lion. How about this one? On his ex-girlfriend's engagement gift. What do you mean, present? She got Zlatan. We are looking for an apartment. If we don't find anything, then we'll just buy a hotel. When you buy me, you're buying a Ferrari. We usually say that you cannot become a legend before death, but I'm a living legend. Zlatan is the greatest ever, man. Just ask him. Fun little podcast, a little jolt down memory lane for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And if you haven't yet, go check out a fantastic documentary on Netflix called Becoming Zlatan. If you haven't seen it, kind of does a little bit of what we did here, but focuses more on his childhood and then making that big move from Sweden over to Ajax and then throughout his career. Super interesting look at one of the most creative, fun, talented people that's ever graced the pitch. And that's going to do it for this year or this week's Talking Soccer Podcast, episode 37, I believe. Next week, back to the usual. The boys are back from international break. I'm not going to bore you with Euro qualifier stats and plays and all that. If you want to do that, go check out EliteFantasy.com. I'll have an article up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for all those slates there. Then next week, it's back to the usual. We maybe even have some Champions League next week. Looking forward to that. But that's going to do it for this week's Talking Soccer Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Adios.